we have an awful lot of teaching about binding the devil. Well, I'd rather put him in a bind. And I know how to do that, and I can teach you how to do that so that you never again have to be under his dominion, but you can literally put him in a bind. This morning, I'm not going to do that this morning, so you'll have to come back to hear that one. But you noticed these little vials of oil. I asked one of the secretaries, I said, do you suppose you could find some little vials of oil? Because, you know, the Bible clearly says if there are those sick among you Christians, you that are in the family, says you should call for the elders of the church. That should be your first result, your first response, not your last resort. Amen. Your first response is when you're sick, call for the elders of the church. That implies the church has elders. And this church does have elders. Not only does it imply that it has elders, these elders that it has must be on call. They must answer the telephone. Amen. Or at least have somebody that answers it and puts the phone call through to them. It implies also that the elders will respond to that call and anoint that person with oil in the name of the Lord and pray the prayer of faith. Now that's our business, men. Amen. Elders in this house, that's our business to pray the prayer of faith. And this laying empty hands on empty heads doesn't get the job done. I mean, we got to have hands that are full of God's anointing and blessing. If we're going to be elders, we've got to be able to pray the prayer of faith. And I believe these elders can do that. Amen. And if they can't, I believe God's going to anoint them in such a way that they can. Amen. There's some days when I don't feel like I'd pray anything but the prayer of doubt. But I'm trying to keep in touch with the Lord so that if somebody calls, we don't have to pray through to respond. But we stay prayed up and ready to respond to the call. And the duty of the elders is simply to anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and then God's responsibility is to raise them up according to His purpose and in His plan. And that's exactly what He'll do. Well, you know what? When I asked if they could do that, one of the secretaries remembered that there were hundreds of them in the office already. They were already there. They just hadn't been used. So we put oil in them. Somebody did. Not me, but somebody did. And here they are this morning. And here care leaders who are representing elders and with the elders. They're laying hands on people. I'm expecting to hear miracles. I'm expecting to hear that. Amen. Because they're not empty hands and they're not being laid on empty heads. There are people that are reaching out to God, and we're expecting to hear reports of positive results because we have obeyed the Lord. Now, in the evangelistic setting, you don't have to anoint with oil. If you're out there preaching to sinners, you can just lay hands on them. Just lay hands on them, and that'll take care of it. But with the church, it's a different matter. Now the responsibility is on the person who is sick. They are to call. And those who are called must respond. And when they do, God then puts Himself in a position to say, I'll take care of it now. Leave it in my hands. I'll do it. I'll do what needs to be done. I wish I could say that in every case, God heals the person. I mean, the way I want Him to. I think He always responds the way that He needs to respond in that particular case. because He knows every one of us and everything about us. All right. What does it mean when the preacher looks at his watch? We know that, don't we? It doesn't mean anything. But when you look at yours, that's a different matter. I promise you, and especially if you take it off, then I know I've already gone way too far. Amen. Now, this is a part of my message, so don't worry about this, even though it may sound like an announcement, because I have announced already that next Sunday night we're having a special service. I think it probably is in today's bulletin. We're having a special service for people who want to know more about the work and ministry and person of the Holy Spirit, and people who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and for people who want to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. And we're having that service for people in those categories, and hopefully everybody is in one of those categories. Amen? That last one ought to take all of us in. I want to be filled anew and afresh with the Holy Spirit. Don't you? Amen. So that's a special service, and we're focusing on that, and today's message is moving us toward that. In the book of Isaiah, we have a prophecy given by Isaiah in chapter 28. I won't turn to these scriptures. I'm simply going to quote as I remember them, and I'm certain that I'm getting the meaning of what is being said here. To the nation of Israel, God said on one occasion, "With stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people," that is the nation of Israel, "but they will not hear me." They will not hear that message, even though it is a supernatural kind of speaking that is going to be coming to them, they will still not respond. Joel takes up the word, and Joel says in chapter 2, verse 32, I think it is, toward the end of that chapter, he talks about in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. He said, "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams." And he said, "Upon my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit in those days." And then he even went further. He said, "The sun will be darkened, the moon will be turned to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord." And there's two parts of that prophecy. One was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Another, we're yet waiting. The other part of that prophecy, the sun being darkened and the moon turned to blood, that has not happened yet. It will. In fact, I'm praying for that quite often. My prayer is, "Lord, let that other part of Joel's prophecy be fulfilled," because it says, when that is fulfilled, anyone who at that time calls upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. You talk about a great ingathering of souls. Wait till the sun is darkened and the moon is turned to blood, and it can't be explained by some scientific definition. It's totally beyond understanding. Blood and fire and vapors of smoke in the earth. That's what the Scripture says is going to happen. This supernatural cataclysmic. And I don't even have false teeth. Yet, I have to go to the dentist this week. Just threw that in. But those wonderful and mighty and powerful and mysterious things is going to bring about such an ingathering of souls as this world has ever known. I'm convinced of that. The next person that was talking much about or anything at all about the Holy Spirit was Jesus Christ Himself. Well, no, the next person was John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me. I baptize with water under repentance, but there's one coming after me. He's mightier than I am. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then Jesus comes along and he begins to teach about the Holy Spirit early on. He begins to say things like that your Father is going to give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him. And then in the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and 17th chapter of John, he goes into a dissertation on the Holy Spirit that everyone needs to view, read, look at, meditate upon, because he was saying, I'm going to go away, but I'm coming right back. I'm going away, you won't see me anymore, but I'm coming right back. In the person of the Holy Spirit. He has been with you in me. He is going to be in you because I'm going to my Father and He's going to send you another Comforter who is going to be right with you and in fact live in you. And that's exactly what he did on the day of Pentecost. A few days prior to the day of Pentecost, to his ascension, prior to his ascension and then the day of Pentecost, a few days prior to that, he called his disciples together and breathed on them, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I believe they did, right then and there. They were born again by the Spirit from above. For everyone who has been born of God was born of God by the Holy Spirit. And there is a sense in which He came at that point to dwell within you, but that is not to be viewed as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because to those very same disciples, He later said, very same ones, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Amen. Referring to this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, they all followed him out to the Mount of Olives. And he had some last words to say to them. And in those words, he says, you are not to leave Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Ghost, until the Spirit comes upon you. Now, he had already said to them, I want you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to every person. But don't do it until you're first filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in the book. Read it for yourself. It's right there in that first chapter. Yes, that makes good reading. It's good stuff. It's strong. Listen, we got to get back to the book. Selective doctrine is not enough. Or my twist on it is not enough. It's reading and seeing what it says. And then if it says, anoint with oil, do it. If it says, be filled with the Spirit, then that's what I need to be focusing on, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, those disciples, as Jesus was talking to him there on the Mount of Olives, suddenly gravity lost its hold on him. And he begins to ascend. And they stand there looking up until a cloud receives him completely out of their sight. And they're still looking up with mouths wide open when suddenly two men clad in white apparel stood there saying, Men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw going up into heaven is going to come again in the very same manner. But didn't he tell you to do something meanwhile? Well, they made their way. There's about 500 of them heard that word. 120 of them, about 25%. About one out of four. You follow that through the Scriptures and you'll get an eye-opener. Amen. Only about one out of four who hear the gospel are going to respond to it. About one out of four. will ever produce any fruit. Amen. But here they were, 500 heard the message, 500 heard the command, 120 of them went back into the, I think, did I say 125? 120 went back to the upper room, and they waited there for some 7 to 10 days. Some people think 7, some 10. I don't know who's right. But however long it was, they stayed until the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they were all in one mind and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and the wind, the noise of the wind, went far beyond that house because it attracted the attention of a multitude of people who came together on hearing the wind. And when they got there, they also heard something other than the wind, because the Holy Spirit had come upon that group of people in the form of cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. And those people that came together, I mean from many different nations, came together, heard these Galileans all speaking in their own native tongue, and begin to question, how can this be? These are Galileans. They're not educated people. That's obvious. And yet we, every one of us, hear them clearly speaking in our own languages, glorifying and lifting up and exalting God. Somebody said, you know, all that stuff's of the devil. That speaking in tongues stuff, that's all of the devil. Well, I knew a dear brother over in Rockwall who was the worst sinner that ever lived. And I'm telling you, he was mean. He was a drunkard. He was just mean. And they told him, this is of the devil. He said, I know better because I served the devil as faithfully as anybody ever served him, and I never spoke in tongues one time. Amen. Did you ever speak in tongues when you were serving the devil? Of course not. It's when you came to the Lord and you got full of the Holy Ghost and got beside yourself. Got out of the flesh and into the Spirit and began to speak forth something you never learned anywhere. You didn't go to school to get it. You suddenly knew how to communicate in a totally different form of communication. Speaking a language you never learned, and God knew everything you said. Sometimes people know it. Sometimes people do, but most of the time, people don't know it because they're not speaking to people when you're speaking in tongues. You're speaking to God. It's a prayer thing. It's a way to communicate. It's a way to worship and praise the Lord. When you get beyond your own mental ability to express what your heart wants to express to God, you move into a totally different language that is the language of heaven, and began to communicate at a level that God understands clearly. Amen. And sometimes it's a mystery. It is a mystery to men, but it is an evidence in your own personal life of the indwelling presence of the person of the Holy Spirit who is now living in you. They began to speak with tongues, and some said they're drunk with new wine. They've been drinking sweet wine. Peter said, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. You couldn't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning on wine. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Here is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. It's right before you. And you need to understand that this Jesus, whom you crucified only recently, He has ascended into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and He promised us before He left that He was going to send the Holy Spirit, and now here is the evidence. This that you see and hear is evidence that He has in fact seated Himself at God's right hand. And every person who has been filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance has a personal witness within themselves that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. This is not something imaginary. He is alive. And some people say, well, I don't see the benefit. Well, if you don't see the benefit, you probably never have been filled with the Spirit. There is a benefit. Some time ago, I was talking to a missionary from South, I think he was in at the time in Colombia, South America. He was speaking in our church. And he told me after the service that he was driving one day and stopped to pick up a man who needed a ride. And as they drove along, he said, I first spoke to him in Portuguese because that was must not have been Colombia because that's Spanish. It was wherever they were speaking Portuguese. And he said, I spoke to him in Portuguese and he didn't respond to me. Then he said, I knew Spanish as well. I spoke to him in Spanish and there was no response. And he said, I knew some German and I spoke to him in German. There was still no response. I spoke to him in English. There was no response. And he said, well, I'll just speak to him in tongues. And so he spoke to him in tongues. The man immediately responded to him. And he said, we rode for several miles. I talked to him all the way and he talked to me. I have no idea what he said, but evidently he knew what I was saying. As we drove along, and I have no reason to believe anything other than what that brother told me. There wasn't any reason to tell me anything but the truth. I know that happened exactly as he told me. Listen, yes, sometimes we speak in a language that is understood. Someone came up to me one time when I was praising the Lord and said, well, do you know Hebrew? And I said, well, no, I don't know Hebrew. They said, well, you were just praising the Lord in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. They evidently understood it. I didn't know that I was speaking in Hebrew, but I guess it was for his benefit. It was for his benefit that he understood the language. Sometimes that happens. I believe it is a normal evidence of the indwelling presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who has been filled with the Spirit certainly can speak in tongues. That's right. You can go like this, yeah. And I know some of you are saying, well, I can't. But I believe the Spirit is living in me, and I don't believe I can. I'm going to show you Sunday night. Boy, I've got a long ways off on that. I'm going to show you next Sunday night that you can, and many people will speak in tongues in that service for the very first time in your whole life. And some of you will have liberty to speak in tongues. You never have had it. You'll have liberty to do that because I know the Lord has given me an ability and a gift to do that. I have that gift in me. Amen. It's by the Spirit. I don't have anything unless He does it. But He told me to have this service. And He told me what to do and how to do it. And if I can just obey Him, that's all that's necessary. He'll do the rest. See, we don't have to be somebody big. We just have to be somebody to obey. That's all. If we can just obey, He'll do the work. But if we feel like we've got to do it, we have something that we've got to, that has to take place the way I think it ought to be. No, I want it His way. My song is not I Did It My Way. My song, I want my song to be, I did it His way. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do. And I'm sort of laying a groundwork right here. I want you to know that there is a tremendous, an important manifestation of the Spirit which ought to be ordinary for every one of us who know the Lord. But for those who do not know the Lord, it's something totally different. It's a sign to unbelievers. Not to believers, but to unbelievers. If you want to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, fill the building with unbelievers. Oh, I thought it needed to be filled with men and women of faith. The greatest healings, the greatest miracles in the ministry of Jesus Christ happened in the midst of the greatest unbelief. Fill the church with unbelievers if you want to see miracles. Fill the church with unbelievers if you want to see manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Fill it with unbelievers. I'm not talking about Christian skeptics. I'm talking about genuine unbelievers. Just don't have it yet. But they're open. They just don't have it. Fill it with that kind of honest unbelievers and see what God will do. You're looking kind of strange at me this morning. I think you're trying to figure out how to take it all in. But I tell you, friends, we're on the right course. I know. I've never in my whole life, and I'm 75 years old, as you well know by now, in my whole life, I've never been so conscious and so aware of the need to know what God is saying as I do right now. I've pastored churches for many years, had growing churches where I've been. Never a large church like this, though I've spoken to 5,000-10,000 people, not in my own church. But I am aware that we need Him right now. More than anything else, we need His leadership. We need His guidance. We need to follow His Word. And not just do it my way. Will you agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. How many is ready? And you're saying, I want to be filled anew and afresh with the Holy Ghost. I want you to stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet and say, Lord, I'm a candidate. I want to be filled anew and afresh with the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I want to have liberty to shout. I want to have liberty to dance before the Lord. I want to have liberty to speak in tongues and glorify God. Hallelujah. That's what I want. That's what I want. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.